Listening Library presents Whitebird, a novel based on the graphic novel by R.J. Palacio with Erica S. Pearl. Read for you by Hilary Huber and Hope Newhouse. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a bonus PDF of a discussion guide, which can be accessed on any Mac or PC device.
For Molly, her ancestors, and her descendants. R.J.P. For all those who spread their wings, shelter others, and soar toward peace. E.S.P. They're the children. They have their games. They made a circle on a map of time. Skipping, they entered it. Laughing, lifted the agate. I will get you an orange cat and a pig called Tangerine. The gladness bird beats wings against an opaque glass. There is a white bird in the top of the tree. They leave their games and pass. Mariel Rukeyser, Fourth Elegy, The Refugees. Prologue. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana. Present day. Julian, no more video games. Do your homework. Julian's eyes stayed fixed on the screen of his phone. This is homework, he replied. I'm FaceTiming Grandmère for my humanities project. Julian's mother raised an eyebrow. Her son rarely called his grandmother for any reason, and this was the first she was hearing of a school project. She was tempted to see if Julian was pulling a fast one on her. But then she heard the sound of the call ringing on the other end, so she left the room and closed the door. The phone continued to ring, and Julian was about to hang up and start another video game when he heard a familiar voice answer. Allô? Allô? A face swam into view. It was Grandmère, all right. Julian's grandmother showed few signs of slowing down as she got older. For her, it was a point of pride. Bright lipstick and chic clothing told the world that she remained a force to be reckoned with. So did her tendency to speak her mind. She was a woman of strong opinions. Hey, Grandmère, replied Julian. Allô? Came back in response. Allô? Julien, is that you? Of course, she knew it had to be Julien. No one else called her grand-mère. To the rest of the world, she was Madame Albin, or Sarah. She poked at the screen in frustration, able to hear but not see her grandson. Despite her best efforts, technology seemed to look for ways to betray her. Sometimes the inadvertent push of a wrong button would end the call completely. Other times, the caller would sound like he was at the bottom of a well. This was not entirely unexpected when the caller lived in New York City, as Julian did. After all, an ocean separated his home from her apartment in Paris. Grandmère, you have to look into the phone, Julian instructed her. And put your glasses on, he added. Dutifully, she did, and was rewarded by the sight of her grandson's sweet brown eyes. At least, one of them. The boy needed his hair cut, she noticed. Julian's bangs hung over his eyebrows, obscuring his handsome young face. Had they been in the same room, she might have reached over and brushed them out of the way with her hand. She might even have taken him to her hairdresser, Marcel, for a quick trim. But with all the miles separating them, she chose to ignore his mop top and focus instead on the fact that her grandson was calling her, a rare treat. Oh, there you are, she said brightly. I see you now. Allô, mon cher, how are you? How is the new school? Her question was weighted with meaning. Julian had recently transferred schools, and not for the best of reasons. The idea was to give him a chance at a fresh start. Whether that would actually happen was mostly in Julian's hands, and they both knew it. It's okay. I like it, he said. I mean, I miss Beecher Prep and all, but I still feel really bad about, well, you know. He looked away for a moment, as if trying to find the words, or perhaps lost in a memory. Some of the stuff I did, he finally said. His grandmother's heart went out to him. She had learned some of the details of his disastrous fifth grade year from her son and his wife, who had been quick to blame others. They claimed that there had been incidents, misunderstandings really, to hear them tell it, and that the school had let several children off the hook, but not Julian. It was not until a family trip to Paris that the full details came out. Julian told his grandmother a different story from the one his parents had shared, one in which Julian was less of a victim and more of an active participant in all that had transpired. His sense of remorse impressed his grandmother. It also gave her hope that her grandson might be ready to take full advantage of the fresh start he had been offered. Julian propped his elbow on the table, leaned into his hand, and sighed. Sometimes I wish I could go back in time, or have it do-over, you know? Grandmère nodded. She wanted to reach through the phone and hug him, for of course she knew only too well.
Oh, yes, mon cher, she told him. We all have those kinds of regrets. Just remember, we are not defined by our mistakes, but by what we do after we've learned from them. D'accord?
Julian shook his hair out of his eyes, and his grandmother noticed a wave of relief pass across his face.
Okay, grandmère. Thanks, he said. I'm actually calling you today because of school. I have a project for my humanities class. I'm supposed to write an essay about someone I know, and I want my essay to be about you.
Me? I'm so flattered, replied grandmère.
She found it humorous that young people often assumed their elders to be out of step, out of touch, and out of fashion.
When, in fact, she had said to Julian on more than one occasion, we have lived long enough to see that everything your generation thinks of as new is simply a recycled version of something we've seen many times before.
But then her grandson said something even more surprising.
I want to share your story from when you were a little girl during the war.
I see,
grandmère said quietly. Julian began talking quickly, sensing her reluctance.
I want to write about you and Tortue, grandmère, he said. I know you told me this story already the last time I visited you, but this time I'd like to record you, and I was thinking maybe you could give me more details.
Grandmère said again. She was trying to make up her mind. Julian was right, of course. She had long wanted to tell him the whole story of her past once he was old enough to hear it. On his most recent visit to Paris, the right moment had finally come. And yet, as important as it felt to share her past with her grandson, she had stopped short of telling him everything. She'd held back some of the pieces, just for herself.
Is he ready for me to share all of it? She wondered. And am I?
Oh, Julia, she said, trying to figure out how to explain her complicated feelings. It felt strange to be at a loss for words.
This is a lovely idea,
she finally said, but it's hard for me to talk about these things.
I'm sorry, replied Julian, worry flashing in his eyes. I didn't mean to upset you. He added, it's okay, we don't have to.
And in that moment, grandmère decided. It wasn't that she was moved by his wanting to spare her the pain of reliving the memories. It was actually the opposite. His willingness to say forget it and shift the conversation to more pleasant topics gave her the nudge she needed.
No.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?